On the phone with me for this segment, I have Bob Cassiola, former head football coach at Princeton and UConn, and past president of the National Football Foundation and author of the new book, First and Forever, Making the Case for the Future of Football. Thank you very much for joining me today, Coach. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Coach, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your coaching background.
Well, I spent 21 years coaching college football at Princeton, Dartmouth, and the University of Connecticut. I was head coach at Connecticut and Princeton, and I was fortunate enough to work for some great coaches. Three of them are Hall of Fame coaches: Bob Blackman at Dartmouth, Dick Coleman, and Charlie Caldwell at Princeton. So my life has been blessed by the fact that the game and the people I've been associated with have had a great effect on any successes I've had.
Okay, Coach, as you know, tackle football has come under attack because of the risk of head injuries, and it's, of course, a big topic of discussion. You are actually an advocate of tackle football. You say that football can be safe for kids.
I think it can, and I appreciate the fact that people are concerned, and we do have some problems. And I think to the credit of many people at all levels of the game, they're starting to approach it and try to correct it. For example, just this past week in the state of Texas, a hotbed for football, high school football, they required every high school coach, whether he coached on the varsity, junior varsity, or freshman level, to take a course in the proper techniques of tackling before they could coach this fall. And they had great success with it. And it's only the beginning, because I think it's going to be spread throughout the country. Tackling is a concern. Back, if I may add, in the 1960s, we went all over the country to various spring practices, and we came back. I was at Dartmouth at the time, and one of our coaches said, you know, they're teaching a technique down there that's totally different than we do. And we said, well, what is it? They said they're using their head to come in and center it on the chest of the ball carrier or the receiver. It's because it gave them more balance in making the tackle. For years, and if you look at the last chapter of this book, Bobby Bowden talks about the fact how he played football, coached with a shoulder, tackled with a shoulder. And now people are starting to come back to that. The head became a weapon, and you're starting to see penalties called, the spearing penalties. And I think that's going to be a big factor, and it's going to have an effect, definitely, on the injury problem. There's always going to be some injuries. It's a contact sport. But I believe people are aware that to preserve it, they've got to make some changes.
Okay, give us a little bit of a historical background, some historical context about the safety of football. How has that progressed over the years?
Oh, I think it's come a long way. I think there's some interesting things that are being done. For example, if you went up to Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, there's a coach there named Buddy Tevens. Buddy Tevens took on the responsibility when it all became very evident that people were critical and concerned about the game to add to the fact that his teams, once they finish preseason practice, never have contact. They work against all kinds of tackling dummies and machines that give them the same type of reaction they need without going live. And he has lectured about this throughout the country, and it's starting to pick up where they use tackling devices and bags that allows them to hit a moving target. And they're doing more and more of that, and more of it is coming on throughout the country. And that's the key. Because of that, they've cut down on the injuries in practice, which gives their players more of a chance to play. And I talked about these new tackling rules that are being... By the way, the company is called Atavus, Atavus, out of Portland, Oregon. And Rex Norris runs it, former coach. And they are the ones that are instructing people in proper tackling techniques. I think that's happened historically. And now you see it coming about on local levels, on a collegiate level. And surely you're seeing it in the professional level when you watch games and see more penalties called for spearing.
What type of safety studies have been done on football?
Well, I think the NCAA is in the process of doing more and more, but college football has done it most recently, and they've come up with results that show that the tackling percentages are going, that the injuries coming from that type of tackling technique are coming down some. I don't have exact numbers for you, but I can tell you that it's in the process, and it is something that, as I said earlier, everybody's aware of.
Now, you also say that playing football has more benefits to it when it comes to building character.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to exaggerate this to sound like an idealist, but you think of it. Think of football has opened the door to with working-class kids of diverse backgrounds. For many of them, it's become their own field of dreams. But we honored at the National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame in 2015 in New York. Every year they have their annual dinner with their new class of College Hall of Famers. And we honored with the highest award given, the gold medal, to Condoleezza Rice. And we honored her because she was such a great human being to begin with her life. But when she got up to speak, she made a talk that was riveting. And she said, "You won't believe it, but I'm the daughter of a football coach. My daddy coached football in Alabama, high school football. And he used to say to me, 'Condi, what does the right guard do when he pulls to the right?' I'd say, 'He's trapping, Daddy. He's trapping.'" And she went on to say, "The impact of football on the American culture," she said, "you watch teams made up of young men of all backgrounds, all religions, all races, all ethnicities, pulling together, working together as teammates, loving each other, respecting each other." She said, "It's a reflection of America's journey." And that's not far-fetched. And boy, do we need something like that today. More than ever, I think, the game of football must survive so it can continue to make a positive difference in the lives of so many. And it's recorded by history. And I think this book, with the illustrations I use, every chapter devoted to somebody, is an example of how it's been taken beyond the game, into life, with all kinds of great, great contributions.
Now, what about the safety of other sports in comparison to football?
Well, I think I don't want to speak against any other sports because I feel anybody that participates in sports, it's a healthy thing to do. They've got some real problems in soccer, as you know, with the heading. The heading has created a lot of concussions and head problems, and they're coming back with some rules and regulations to limit it in some way. I think it varies. But I think the truth of the matter is that most games today have some part of it has got injury the possibilities. But I think to speak out and say this is bad or this is good is not correct. I think the key is that if there are problems there, people are aware of it because of the publicity it's getting from people like you and people who want to talk about it publicly and write about it. And consequently, it will get better. It will get better.
Okay, now here's a pointed question for you. What do you think about the NFL and today's NFL?
Well, I think it's captured the fancy of this country to an extent where it dominates the world, and it dominates it with because of the advertising potential it brings. And because of that, you showcase a lot of people in different fashions. And consequently, they have problems that you really don't have as much in college. And that's natural because they're paying a salary. And some of the things that are happening to them now is because these guys are big time. They're bigger than the game. And because of that, they've had to cope with their idiosyncrasies. The college game is different because coaches have more control over it in a sense that, you know, many times the bands are on the field at the beginning of the game, so the teams don't come out until after the national anthem. But for the NFL, I think they're trying and they're attempting now to come back and say, hey, we've got to clean this up a little bit. They're definitely cleaning it up in rules regarding tackling, and that's one. But as far as the political part of it, I think it's going to be a part for now. It's going to be there for a while because people feel they're in a position to do that. Overall, I think much of this will pass. There'll be new issues, I'm sure, but I think some of this will pass in time, and it'll go on. But as far as the game goes in the NFL, it's captured the fancy of so many people in this country that it's hard to overly criticize it.
Right. It's still a very popular sport. In fact, probably, arguably, the number one sport in America. So now you also indicate that unsupervised activities may actually be more dangerous for boys. What do you mean by that?
I think you can't just go out and play a game, especially young kids, without some kind of supervision to control the tempo, to give them some rules and regulations. I think the key is that unsupervised athletics can be, especially a sport like football, which is, as I said earlier, a contact sport, there has to be some regulations attached to it. And I think the key is the coaching. And I think that that's really what I'm referring to. To have coaching at every level, if you can, to supervise kids and make sure they regulate them as to play the game and enjoy the game. Enjoy the game. Play it because it's fun. And it is.
If you had one tip for parents whose kids are going to be playing tackle football, what would you tell them?
Make sure that they have fun. And when they, what I mean by that is make sure you know how their coaches address them and handle them. Get involved with that. Not that you're coaching the coach, but you should at least know what's being told to them. And if you disagree with that in a very honest and polite way, let it be known. But if you're going to let your kids play, and I really think that if this book accomplishes anything and some parent looks or reads it and says, hey, I'm going to let him play, or she's going to, and the mothers are going to let him play, I think the key is that they are put into a program that is well-supervised, we talked about that before, and also one that lends itself to enjoying the game. Make it fun. It's just, that's what it's all about.
Okay, Coach, where can we find a copy of your book, First and Forever, Making the Case for the Future of Football?
You can find it, Amazon has it, and all the major book dealers have it now. It came out just about 2 weeks ago, so it's everywhere. First and Forever. Somebody asked me, where did we come up with a title like that? And I said, well, it just rang a bell. It was a kind of metaphorical first down in a game that I feel deserves to last forever.
Bob Cassiola, former head football coach at Princeton and UConn and past president of the National Football Foundation and author of the book First and Forever, Making the Case for the Future of Football. Thanks once again for joining me today, Coach. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen, very much.